We sung about Jesus being the lily of the valley, and that makes me ask questions, is he really that beautiful to me? And so I have to think about that in the song, and of course, he is. He's the most precious thing that we have. That's why I wanted to do this series of lessons about being like him. Because there's nobody else in the world that equals him as far as holiness and purity, absolute purity, sinlessness. And so what greater model can we have greater than Jesus? So let's look at that again. We looked at last week that Jesus showed us how important the scriptures were to him. And so we need to be like Jesus in our respect for Scripture. We need to look at Scripture as something that we must fulfill it. Whatever it demands of us, we must fulfill it. Because that's what Jesus did. And Jesus thought the Scriptures could not be broken. We need to have such respect for the Scriptures that we believe that we must not be the people that break those demands of Scripture. And now I'd like us to look at a related topic about that, and that is how did Jesus approach the use of Scripture and authority from God? That is, I'm going to look at the authority angle on this more so than just how did he respect the Scriptures. I want us to see that he respected the Scriptures in a way that did not characterize the common man of his time. The scribes and Pharisees, when Jesus preached his Sermon on the Mount, they were part of his subject matter. He says, don't be like that. They took the Scriptures and used them conveniently, picking things that they liked, ignoring things that they did not like. He said, I don't want you to do that. They would take some things and say, well, that's just a minor thing. That's a little bitty thing. Jesus says, if you don't practice even the little things, then you won't see the kingdom of God. The little things are important to God, else he wouldn't have put it there. So Jesus looked at the authority of God as expressed in Scripture. So that's what I want us to get out of the lesson this morning, is that we're trying to be like Jesus, but we're trying to be like him in a variety of ways that probably we don't normally think about. And so let's look at this. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, I think this pinpoints the common approach to the Lord, the common approach today. And it was, Jesus knew it was going to be a common problem too. So he said it this way. He says in Matthew 7, 21, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. In other words, you might be a believer that I am the Lord. And you might call me the Lord. And he says that might be pretty something that you can do is call me the Lord. A lot of people do that. And Jesus says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So you've got to incorporate the will of God in addition to calling Jesus the Lord. You've got to incorporate that it's more than just saying, I believe Jesus is the Lord. More than that. You've got to have a deeper concept that says what that means is if he's the Lord, then he rules. He rules my life. It's not just something that I can confess and that gives me automatic spiritual advantages and salvation and a free ticket to heaven. It's not that. It's not that simple. A lot of people think it's that simple because they've been misinformed, but this passage tells us there's a lot more to it than just saying that Jesus is the Lord. But he says, whoever does the will of my Father. There is some involvement in your personal actions because you're trying to do the will of my Father. So we're looking at Jesus as the one who shows us how do you live a life that will please God, that does the will of God. And Jesus shows us how do you do that. And he did that without being a Pharisee and without being a hypocrite. He did that because it was embedded in his heart. Some people would look at doing the will of God as legalism. Well, you want to be legal rather than illegal. So what we're meaning by, what some people mean by legalism is they think that legalism is the same thing as what the Pharisees were doing. No, they were illegal in a lot of ways, but the bigger problem with them was that they wanted to practice the traditions of men, sometimes to the point that it stood in the way of doing the will of God. Traditions become more important than God's word. So they're not legal when they do that. They're illegal when they do that. So what the Lord wants us to do is to copy the way he did things. And Jesus was very, very much involved in doing the will of God. You can call that, you can become critical of that. The Pharisees were critical of Jesus' way of handling the scriptures, but you've got to handle them and you've got to handle them carefully. And this is the way Jesus is going to show us how to do the will of God. And we have to copy that. We have to. Otherwise, we're not a disciple. A disciple learns from the master. And we're learning to copy what the master not only tells us, but what he shows us. So let's think about some applications here. In my approach to authority, I must be like Jesus. I'm here not to do my own will, that I can make things up like I want to because it pleases me, but I must act like Jesus, who says, I'm not here to do my own will. I'm here to do the will of the Father. Look at some scriptures with me. Jesus shows the authorized example. Now, you might hear some brethren start to say that examples are not binding. Well, Jesus says, follow my example. That's a command to follow the example. So examples are very much involved in the approach that we must make. And the authorized example is the way Jesus did things. He lived to do the will of God, not his own will. That's the example. And we're trying to be like Jesus in that example. Consider with me this verse. John 4:34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Doing his will, that I live on that. That's, I eat that. You know, we use that as an expression of what's so important to us, like some people would say, I just live and eat football. I just eat that. That's what I live for. Well, that's sad if that's the case. If that's what you live for, and the first thing you don't think about is, I live for Jesus, I live for God, then you got your priorities all mixed up and you're not following Jesus Christ. It's not bad to say, I like football, I like these kind of things, or I like some other kind of activity or sport. It's not bad to do that. But if you say that's what you live for, then you need to rethink. You need to rethink that. My food, Jesus says, is to do the will of him who sent me. And then in chapter 5, verse 19, he says, I can't do anything of myself. And this, I don't make it up. He says, what I see the Father. Look at John 5, verse 19. Let me get there. Chapter 5, verse 19. He says, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. So he's looking at the example of perfect holiness, and Jesus, as a human, is trying to copy that. Now, Jesus is more than a man, but he's living as a man to show how to live as a man. How do you live as a man? Well, I don't do my own will. What I see the Father do. So example, again. How important are examples? Mighty important to Jesus. What I see the Father do, that's what I do. That gives me the authority to do the same thing that I saw him do, is what Jesus is saying. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. I copy that. So when Jesus says, well, you copy me, that's because Jesus is already copying the standard that he got from the Father. So follow my example. What you see, what I saw the Father do, I'm doing it. Then you follow my example. If I see that Jesus approves, he steps in that position, then that's what I can do because it's right. Jesus never did wrong. Therefore, if Jesus approved it, did it, okayed it, those are things that I can do if I'm trying to do the will of God. So he's the authorized example. All right? And the other thing is the expressed will of God. God expresses his will sometimes, not only by what he's done, but by what he said. Sometimes we say things to our children. There's really just a couple of ways that our children learn from us. What's okay for them to do is they look at mom and dad and they learn by what mom and dad do. And they learn by what mom and dad say. Somebody has simplified that for us so that when we think about it, there's really in the area of communicating my will, my standard, there's really only a couple of ways you do that, and that is you tell us what you want, you show us what you want, and from those two things, from telling us and showing us, there are some things that are implied by what you said and what you did. One brother put that as TSI, tell, show, imply. It's really only way that a person's mind and will is ever communicated is through those three things. And that's the way Jesus operated. The expressed will comes through either telling us or showing us, and whatever those things imply. In John 5, verse 30, he says, I can of myself do nothing as I hear. Now, he says in verse 19, as I see. I see an example. And then he says, as I hear, I hear him tell me some things. So really, those are the only way that you can know what is the will of God, is if he showed you, if he told you, or if he implied something. We used to call that CENI, C-E-N-I. C for command, example, necessary inference. That's just a convenient logic tool to memorize. How do you find out what you can do and what you can't do? Well, if you've got a command, or if you've got an approved example, or from those things you've got something that's implied by that necessary inference, then you can determine what is okay with God, what fits within his will. So Jesus said that here, as I hear, as I see, I do what I see the Father do. As I hear, I judge from that. I draw, you're drawing an inference that is implied by what was said or what was shown you. All right, so follow, heard, testimony. Testimony you heard. The testimony that you hear comes in different shapes. We can say, well, technically that's a command, Or it may just be technically, it may just be a statement, but you still heard it. You heard the statement or the command, and you saw the examples, and then you drew from that the conclusions that you judge from those resources. You don't pull it out of thin air. You have a basis for it. And so that's how communication is done. Tell, show, imply. When I was 3 years old, I learned that. My mother would send me as a three-year-old. I look back and think, you know, those were excellent times for you to feel safe enough to send a three-year-old across the block. But she would send this piece of paper. It had, I couldn't read it, but it was a list. And she told me, hand this to Mr. Driggers at the store, and he'll fill it, and you can come back, bring the groceries with you, and I'll give you a dime. And back then, with a dime, you could buy a great big old RC Cola. And not just that. At that time, you could buy the RC Cola and a great big Baby Ruth candy bar. So she gave me the authority by her words to operate within this realm. In other words, I couldn't hand him the list and then just start grabbing up anything else I wanted in the store. She says, you can buy 10 cents worth, what you can get with a dime. So I knew as a three-year-old, I could only operate within the parameters of 10 cents for myself. But that was a huge thing, because a three-year-old gets this great big RC Cola and this great big Baby Ruth candy bar, and all the other children in the neighborhood are just licking their lips and wishing they could have some of my RC Cola and my Baby Ruth candy bar. You see, I learned to operate within authority as a three-year-old. I learned what was the will of my parents as a three-year-old. It's simple. It's not complicated. You know the parameters are set. So our approach to authority makes, to some people, when you say command, example, and necessary, you're just really trying to indoctrinate people with some strange new way of approaching. No, this is the way Jesus approached authority. It's not any different than the way Jesus approached authority. All I've done is I've explained that what he did, he learned by what he saw, he learned by what he heard, and he drew judgments from that. That's the way you see Jesus operating. And that's the way communication has always been handed down, is you either tell them, you show them, and they can imply, or they can infer from what has been said, and that's how communication is communicated from one mind to another mind, from God's mind to our mind. Very simple. All right, now, explaining it sometimes sounds on the surface a little complicated, but it's not all that complicated. Look at John 6:38 on the screen. I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. I came to live within the parameters of the Father's will. I came to do that. Now Jesus then tells us, you live within the parameters of what you know the Father is pleased with. You do like I do. So now we have to know the mind of our Father. How does our Father communicate? He communicates through the Scriptures. I can see what he's done in the Scriptures. I can hear what he's done in the Scriptures. And from that, I can draw the judgments, the conclusions of what does fit within the framework of the will of God. There are some things that we'll learn immediately that do not fit within the framework of God's will. It is simply man doing his own will and saying, Lord, Lord. And they'll be surprised on the day of judgment because he says, you did not act within the law. You did not act within the parameters of doing the will of God. He says, many will say, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Jesus will say, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Iniquity meaning lawlessness. You did not stay within the realm of God's law. Now, let's look at this. In doing the will of God, Jesus uses commands, examples, and drew necessary inferences. That's very easy to establish that. So that I know that if he used that, then I can use that. I'm authorized to follow his example. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus says, even the least of these commandments. In other words, you've got to operate within even the things you consider the small details. Yes, you operate even within that, even the least of these commandments. So I know commandments is an expression of the will of God. And even things that are small express God's will. I'm going to operate within the parameters of the big things he's commanded, like love and justice and mercy. Those are the biggest parts. And then there are the smaller parts. Things that are in the estimation of man sometimes not as big a deal. But he says you operate within that too. So operate within the commands, even the least of these commands. Commandments are expressions of the will of God. Also, approved examples. Jesus appealed to approved example when they said, after he healed somebody on the Sabbath day, the Pharisees, you broke it, you did work. You did work on the Sabbath day. And Jesus says, it has always been the case that mercy has always been the higher priority. When you had to choose between mercy and a law like the Sabbath, you chose the higher priority. In this case, Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath day. Did he violate the Sabbath law? No, he did not. And he used an example of David as an example of this, who when he was hungry and he was on the run being chased by Saul, he stopped by and asked for bread from the priest. The priest got the old bread that was going to be thrown out of the tabernacle. He got that and he says, I've got this, you can take that. Was he violating the law of Moses? And the answer is no. And Jesus is affirming that was not a violation. Here, though, he used David as an example. He says, have you not read what David did? That's an example. When he was hungry, he and those who were with him, Jesus appealed to approved examples, saying that God's will is expressed in approved examples. Now, if David did something like putting the Ark of the Covenant on the ox cart, then you'll see that's not an approved example. That's an example that's not approved. So there are approved examples and there are examples that are not approved of. You follow the ones that are approved of. You see that? That's very simple. I knew that when my older brother got a spanking right before my eyes. I knew that I'm not going to follow that example. He did something I'm not supposed to do. You understand that even at early ages. Now, if he did something like clean the toilet, and Mama praised him, says, I appreciate you doing that, and he gets a big old hug, then I learned at an early age, hey, if I do good things around the house like he did, then I get a hug, and I get a reward, and I get approval. So they are approved examples we learn early. And disapproved examples, like when you steal a cookie out of the cookie jar when you're told only at such and such a time of day. Disapproved example. You see that? So Jesus used examples. And that's very clear. Another thing, though, Jesus used necessary implication, necessary inference. For example, on the doctrine of, is there going to be a resurrection? The Sadducees said, no, it's not going to be a resurrection. And Jesus used Exodus 3 when God said to Abraham, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Just that statement alone said that, or implied that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are not, did not die and go out of existence. They're still alive somewhere. Still alive in another realm, but they're still alive. And so Jesus is using necessary inference in Matthew 22, 31 and 32, saying there is a resurrection and it is implied in this statement. You see that? So it's very simple then for us to say, you know, the Bible does. In fact, common sense, common communication implies certain things. Let's look at some examples here, some applications, just to kind of whet our understanding of what is being said here. Infant baptism. Is that the will of God? Infant baptism. Well, how would you know? Well, you'd go to the Bible and say, well, do I find a command for infant baptism? And you search all over the New Testament and say, I didn't find a single command. Well, maybe there might be something else, though. Maybe there's an example. Maybe there's a story where Paul baptized this baby over here. If you can find that, well, maybe you don't need necessarily just a command. Maybe you can have an approved example. Well, you go there and you start looking through the New Testament and no, there's no example. Well, then if you don't have any resources to draw from, then you have no implication that this is something God wants, that God approves of that. You don't have anything to draw that tells you God wants that. Well, what if I do it anyway? Well, then if you do it anyway, you're not acting like Jesus. You see, Jesus acted only within what he saw and what he heard. If he didn't see it and if he didn't hear it, then he didn't do it. You see, that's just that simple. So it would be the case then, if you wanted to operate within the confines of the will of God, you're going to look for command, statement, something that communicates, and then you draw the inferences. Let's do it again. Well, we know then that infant baptism is not the will of God, so we're not going to do that. All right, sprinkling for baptism. Sprinkling. A lot of people do that, but did they do it because of the will of God or because they're doing their own will? You see, there's a big difference. Well, you look at through the New Testament, I've got to find a statement where you can sprinkle somebody for baptism. I don't find any. I find that the word baptism comes from a word immerse. So that's not sprinkle, that's immersing somebody. Well, maybe there's an example. You go through the New Testament, you find no example of sprinkling for baptism. What do you conclude when you hadn't heard anything from God, you didn't see anything? Then the necessary implication is, I don't want that. I don't want it. You didn't see it, you didn't hear it, then the implication is, I don't want it. I included what I wanted. I communicated what I wanted. If you're going to do that anyway, you're not going to do it by your own authority, not mine. You see how that works? A pope, cardinal, where did that come from? Well, you don't read of it. And reverend, calling preachers reverend, you don't read of that. No command. No example. What do I conclude? I don't have any basis for having a pope or supporting a pope or a cardinal or calling a man reverend. I don't have any authority for that. You see how simple that is? It's not something God wants. All right, now let's make another application. This time it's going to be on regard to the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. It's a simple example, but are we commanded to take the Lord's Supper as we just did? And when? Well, I've got a command in 1 Corinthians 11. Jesus instituted it the night before his crucifixion, and he said, and Paul took that example, and he took it and reinforced it to the brethren in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, this is what Jesus did, so this is what you got to do. Now, what the brethren at Corinth did was make it into some common meal, and he says, that's not what it was about. It wasn't a common meal. He took this after supper. He took two elements, and he says, do this in remembrance of me. So I know then that it would be right, it's doing the will of God, for us to take the Lord's Supper. Well, when? Well, there is an example. Acts chapter 20, verse 7, you see, and we'll talk a little bit more about this tonight, because we'll be in Acts chapter 20. But Acts chapter 20, you see brethren at Troas coming together on the first day of the week to break bread. So I know that Paul waited all week for that occasion to happen. Why didn't he just do it any other time? Well, he had all week to do it, but he waited for the first day of the week. I know then that I don't have an approved example of it being done all week except on the first day of the week. You see that? We'll look at that in a little more detail. But you also saw in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, Pentecost was on the first day of the week, and they broke bread. And the meaning of that is the bread that we break, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, is communion. That's what we're engaged in. So I know then that taking the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week has behind it both command and example. What do I conclude? I can prove that God is pleased for us to obey this command on the first day of the week. I know that's right and can't be wrong. Can't be wrong. How do you know? I've got command and example, and there's necessary implication from that. All right, so let's draw this to a conclusion. Conclusion is, if I'm going to be like Jesus, I'm going to have to get out of my mind that God is going to accept anything that pleases me. No, I'm going to live for His will. I'm not going to be doing my own will. So it's going to be like Jesus, I can of myself do nothing. It's going to be like Jesus. What God tells me, what God shows me, if I hear it from Him, if He's shown it to me in some example, or it is implied in what is stated, like Jesus drew a necessary inference, and what God shows, or implies, that's my limits. I operate within that. That's the limits. God placed limits on us. He placed limits on Jesus. We're trying to copy Jesus. And so this is one of the ways that we become like Jesus. And that will also help us keep united. If every member says, I'm going to operate my life that way, then if we did that, if we operated within the will of God, one person operates that way, another one does that way, then we're on the same page. And we're going in the same direction. and we have the same mind, the same judgment. But if somebody says, you know, I don't think it's a big deal here, I don't think that's a big deal, why don't we do this? And you don't have command, you don't have example, you don't have anything that necessarily implies it, then we don't do it. It's just like Jesus. We just don't do it. Now, as we bring this to a conclusion, and you can get your songbooks now. If we want to operate our lives in the way Jesus wants us to operate our lives, within the will of God, then you've got to put off the old way of thinking. The old way of thinking is, I'm going to please myself. I'm going to live and please myself. That's the way you're going to operate, then you're not a disciple. If you want to become a disciple, you're going to operate like Jesus did. And that means doing His will, not your own. Jesus even went to the cross saying, not my will, but your will be done. We can crucify our old man and become like Jesus. If you want to be baptized into Christ, we can help you with that. If you've done that and you need to correct some things in a public way, and we can help you with that, please come now as we stand together and sing this song.